This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here's WSMI's David Jenkins. And David, good morning.
Good morning, Terry. Thank you very much for that wonderful intro. And surprise guest this morning, we've got Litchfield head coach Rob Corso joining us this morning.
Rob finally decided to show up, huh?
Yes, Rob.
because we were threatening to promote him all morning long. So,
morning, Terry.
Good morning, Rob. How are you doing, man?
Doing very well, thank you.
Terry, Rob was one of the. I know you and I talked about this off the air, but Rob was one of those who stayed up for the Cardinals game last night in its entirety. So
you are a better man than I, Gunga Din. I tell you, I faded about the 12th or 13th inning. So
it was a train wreck. I just couldn't take my eyes off of it.
Well, it was almost like they were playing on the West Coast. And I'm going, oh, my God, this thing's still going on, you know. Gee, many Christmas. So
yeah,
did you go to the game or did you just watch the game?
I was watching on TV.
Yeah, yeah. So they find crazy ways to.
Yeah, but they're playing pretty well now.
They
got it 6.5 behind Chicago and tied for the second wild card. It's nice.
Five-game winning streak now?
Yeah.
Their high watermark is
winning games at home. That's interesting.
I know. They're back to, what, 3 games under 500 at home now?
Something like that, yeah.
And, you know, the really interesting thing is they're not really that healthy. You know, a lot of times when teams are not healthy, they struggle a lot. And I think we saw some of that in the first half of prior to the All-Star game. But all of a sudden here in the second half, they seem to have gotten their act together. So
yeah, well, and I mean their defense, they are filled with a lot of second half players.
Yes.
Too. You look at a guy like Matt Holliday, who's made his living in the second half. Stephen Piscotty really came on in the second half last year, albeit limited time, but still, and he's putting together kind of a Cardinals MVP season, not an MVP season overall, but kind of a Cardinals MVP season as the most reliable hitter they have since Carpenter's gone down.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think the starting pitching has been decent.
Since April,
there you
yeah.
go. There you go, right there. That's, you know, Mike Leake has come on and done extremely well. Adam Waino still is back to being Waino again. I think Michael Wacha still, there's a few questions with Wacha. He still seems to be a little bit high in the strike zone sometimes and lacks control. But, you know, Martinez is just absolutely nasty, so. Yeah. I certainly like the starting pitching in the second half.
Well, and we've talked about this throughout the sports show throughout the summer so far. We know that Mike Matheny went with a different approach going into spring training this year. He decided to give his guys a lot of rest early on and not really push them so that they would be healthy during the season. And maybe that had something to do with the pitching staff not being great at the start of the season.
Which they, that's possible.
Yeah.
Possible. Still, the one guy that scares me to death is Broxton, though. When he comes in, I'm going, oh, my gosh. I'm just not really sold on him yet. So
I'm not either. And truthfully, I haven't really been. I thought them picking him up last year was a good move for bullpen depth, and then whenever they decided to bring him back this year, I was like, okay, well, they do need arms.
Yeah,
and then
true.
Whenever they decided he was going to be an important late-inning reliever, I was like, oh, that's not a good. There's a reason he's not closing anymore.
Right, and I was also surprised they brought him back for the second year. But
I thought they would have made a run at Cishek before Broxton.
Well, see, that's what I would have thought, that, because Cishek, I thought, was terrific for him.
He was, and he's got 23 saves this year.
Yeah,
so it's,
he's doing really well in Seattle. So
he's just had that weird delivery, which was just, you know, would just be nightmarish on the right-hander.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, and the guy they gave up for him, too, that Kyle Barraclough, he leads all National League relievers in strikeouts, of course, so for the Marlins.
Okay. Well, certainly the second half of the baseball season with the two wild cards, I think, is going to be a wild finish. And even though the Cubs got off to an absolutely great start, and they are a terrific team, and now they're even better now that Dexter Fowler's back at the top of the lineup for them. You know, I think it's going to be a good run, a close run. Let the games continue and let's have some fun this summer.
And obviously they are a very good team, and the one weakness you could say that they have is their bullpen. And it was really something that wasn't exposed as the season was early, because all the starting pitchers were going 7-8 innings into the game. And now lately it's been exposed, and that's why they've hit a bit of this rut, except for the second half so far. It sure looks like they're going to make some kind of a move for a late inning reliever at the deadline. There's been talk about possibly dealing for Andrew Miller, possibly Aroldis Chapman. Of course, the Yankees want a King's ransom for that, and you can't blame them. I mean, the Yankees at this point, they're not mathematically eliminated, but they're pretty much eliminated from postseason contention. And, you know, with a couple of guys like that, they can ask
but
the
if
world.
But if you've put all your eggs in the basket for this year, and you're the Cubs, aren't you going to go after Chapman? I mean, wouldn't that make sense? You know, because really money is not really the object here. It's about this is the year, supposedly, for the Cubs.
Especially if it's a situation where, you know, the Cardinals all of a sudden, like you said, Rob, are 6.5 back, and the Cardinals are the one team that in the division you worry about every year because they, you know, you can never count them out. And Aroldis Chapman is the guy who the Cardinals cannot figure out in late innings of games, and for whatever reason.
Yeah, and the Cubs already traded this week for a left-hand reliever and a right-hand reliever. They gave one of the prospects up.
That's right. They acquired Mike Montgomery, who at one point was a pretty highly touted starting pitching prospect.
Yeah, he's a solid left-hand setup man now. So I think that, you know, they've already kind of looking. I think they're going to wait and see. And I think that's smart. Wait and see where they are in about a month.
Right. Yeah, they and this year the deadline is one day later. It's on August 1st because July 31st happens on a Sunday, and obviously everyone's got day games that day. So I think they wanted to push back to August 1st, which was a good decision.
It is.
If they were going to acquire Andrew Miller, it would cost him more than it would Aroldis Chapman. And you know, one would say, well, why? Aroldis Chapman's been more dominant. Well, Andrew Miller is signed beyond he's signed through next year as well.
Yeah.
Chapman is a free agent after this season, so he's a rental player. Yeah. So you have to, and I mean, right now they're both having equally great seasons. So you're going to have to give up more for Andrew Miller than you would Aroldis Chapman. So it's pretty much, there was a report earlier in the season that they wanted both. And I mean, that's just absurd.
Lights out.
Yeah.
But it's much more exciting baseball season when the Cards and Cubs are going at it and playing well. It's a lot of fun.
It certainly is. It certainly is. Rob, how are things? We've been talking Cardinals. How are things with you through the summer so far?
We had a really good summer with the girls' basketball, and I got my taste of coaching the seventh grade girls, which I'm taking over this year.
Okay.
And coaching with Mrs. Corso, which is very exciting. It's been a summer of transitions. We did this, and we became grandparents last week, which is very exciting.
Of course.
And,
it's hard to find time to vacation, spend time with family when you've got a bunch of coaching things going on.
So it's been a good summer. Actually, I hate to say this, I'm looking forward to school getting started.
Well,
I gotta.
Rob, I'm just dying to get basketball started. I'm ready, man.
It's going to be a fun year.
Yeah, I think it is. It's going to be. I think the especially girls basketball right here, I think we're still going to have some surprises this year and some teams that are going to be a lot better than people think.
Oh, I think that's exactly right. Also, I think. Competitively, I know you've got some top teams, but really there's a couple of really good teams and a lot of really pretty decent teams, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
You don't have to deal with facing Maddie Grayling anymore, and a lot of those good Southwestern girls.
God bless her. What a wonderful young lady.
Yeah. Is there a relief from that aspect?
No, he's got to gear up for Hillsboro now.
Yeah, that's just true.
But it's going to be fun. There's a lot of good young players. I think some different kids we haven't talked about are going to step up and have their chance to shine. It's going to be pretty fun.
I know it's still way early, but what does your team look like so far this year? I mean, you've obviously got to be pretty excited. With Southwestern losing what they did and Hillsboro losing some of the players they did, it kind of evens up the competition a little bit in South Central Conference.
Yeah, well, we lost a couple of good players too.
Right.
And with Abby Ferrix and Atomac. So it's going to, you know, we have some holes to fill.
And Helen Vargo too. She really stepped up last year.
Yeah. But a team like a Greenville or a Pena who play hard every night, and Gillespie, I mean, I tell you what, they play hard every night and give you a fit. So, but
one of these, and we've obviously talked about Abby Brockmeyer so much throughout her career. First of all, it's hard to believe she's a senior already.
I know.
Secondly, it's going to be an exciting season for her because she has a chance to break 2,000 points, which would also, if she should get there, it would break the Litchfield girls' scoring record.
Yeah.
And it would be one of the few 2,000-point scorers in the county, so it would be a big accomplishment for her.
It would be. And, you know, she's just so unassuming. Mm-hmm. As you saw at the end last year up at the Springfield tournament in the regional, she can take over.
She can. She can dominate.
And she's so competitive. And she's just a joy to be around. And she's hoping that she can make her decision as far as college pretty soon, get that offer plate,
right,
and kind of just focus on what's in front of her.
I think this week, I believe, she got an offer from Bradley, so the offers are still piling up.
Yeah, she's talked to some coaches and stuff, and I think she's had a pretty good summer.
Right.
But she did take 10 days off and went on vacation. We went to a shootout without her, and which was good for our kids to kind of see, you know, life without Abby Brockmeyer, but what a great kid.
And she also had a pretty long spring sports season, too, because the Lincolnwood softball team went deep into the postseason.
Yeah.
She didn't get as much rest as maybe some of her other athletes did.
she enjoys doing stuff like that. You know, she, even though she loves basketball, but she's, you know, she narrowly missed going to sectional golf by a stroke, and then with the success with softball. So, good athlete.
Rob, during the summertime, tell us a little bit about what you get to do as far as interaction with the girls, and you know, you get a certain number of days to be with them, and tell us what sort of activities and places you've been as far as participation this this summer.
Yeah, we have a short, we call it camp. It's basically about four practices and try to get the kids ready. Then we go play. We play down at Salem, and we play some games there. Then we go to Effingham, and we play some pretty good competition there. We focus mostly on offensive skills, and we don't do a lot of conditioning, things like this, just trying to get the kids better and kind of identifying some roles for some of the young ladies and kind of see how they fit in with one another. I think one of the most difficult parts of it is assimilating the freshmen. The freshman year is such a big transition from middle school basketball. Now you're, last year I'm playing eighth graders. Now in this practice, I'm guarding Abby Brockmeyer.
Yeah. And the speed of the game is just, you know, you go from eighth grade to varsity. It's just the speed of the game is just incredible.
Yeah, that's what we try to tell the kids. It's don't get discouraged early on. The game is it's the same game, but it's just a lot faster, and you got to think a lot faster. You really can't think. You have to react, and we try to get the older girls to explain to the younger ones, hey, just stay with it, pat them on the back, and try to encourage them, because they've all been through it, and they know there's a big transition.
And that's the thing with what Abby Brockmeyer has done. She's obviously been a leader the past couple of years, but this year, I mean, she's a senior, so she's even more of a leader, even a captain, if you want to call her that. But her role is not only to be, you know, one of the best players on the floor, but it's to be the leader of your team.
Yeah, I mean, she walked in the gym as a freshman, and she was the best player in the gym immediately, but she didn't act like it. She was real unassuming and real modest, and I appreciate that. But now every year you see her just kind of doing more and more, really gradually picking it up. And she is the alpha dog in the gym now, and that's a lot of pressure. I mean, you walk in the gym, you are the best player there, and all eyes are on you. There's pressure on you. I can foresee some triangles and twos against us this year with two on her. Hey, beat us. Yeah. You know, and it's going to be a challenge.
And Rob, one thing just – and I know Abby and Taylor Pope are so appreciative to be able to be part of the team and in the co-op program. They really appreciate the opportunity to participate.
Yeah, they are great kids. I mean, the only real difference is they just don't go to school with us every day. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are part of what we do. They're just really nice kids. They're hardworking kids. And again, from that first day, even when they were freshmen, they were accepted. And as both ways, our kids accepted them, and they were both ways, and they've worked to fit in real well.
Obviously, we found out not too long ago, and this wasn't necessarily a surprise either. You'll be a 3A school again this year, so you'll play a lot of familiar competition in the regular season, and postseason play. You'll play, you know, teams you've never seen before, which actually I think probably worked out well for you last year, because it was a disadvantage for the other teams. You know, they didn't know what they were getting into, especially with Abby Brockmeyer being so well. They could read about her, but they didn't really have, and they couldn't really see her. So
it was an eye opener, I think, on both ends.
Rob, in that regional tournament, I thought you were basically one possession, one basket away from being in. You know, being able to compete for a regional championship, because I thought Litchfield may have gotten off to a rough start, but I thought they you know, the Panthers came on and played very well, and they were in that ball game. I mean,
Sacred Heart game was a tough one, because they had so many athletes.
They did.
Eight, nine kids at
Litchfield
us.
Litchfield was just grinding it out, you know, and they had an opportunity to get the lead under, you know, into single digits and have possession of the ball, and I thought, you know, get that one basket, boy, it could really turn things, and it's just funny how basketball is a game of runs.
It is, and again, like I say, Abby was just playing so well. This is a joy to watch her. And but I thought our girls really competed well. I mean, they were kind of up against it on their floor and against school play. You know, Terry, difference between 2A and 3A, there's a difference.
There's a big difference.
And they let them play a little bit. And, you know, once our girls got used to it, it helped a little bit. But
Would you say it's probably the biggest difference between classes, the 2A and 3A?
The officiating, for one thing. I know they pound on you a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah, that's you better buckle your chin strap and get ready to go, because you're going to get knocked around. I don't know. I've not seen enough of it, but I tell you what, you go from we see a lot of 1A schools at the North Green tournament, then we're playing this 3A.
You get to see Nokomis a lot too. You usually play them about three or four times during the season. So
they play like a 2A team. I mean, they're hard to deal with, and they get a new coach coming this fall.
Yeah, Brandon Engelman. So
I think that's. I mean, I think they'll do fine, but it's always, you never know when you have a new coach, things are a little different.
Well, they lost a lot from 2 years ago going into last year, and, you know, what do you know, they end up in the regional championship game against a very good Central A&M team.
Yeah, so they handed it to us, you know, in our tournament, too. So, I mean, they're good.
Yeah. Rob Corso, pleased to be joined with us this morning here on Sports Saturday. I believe we need to get to a break. Is that correct, Terry?
That is correct, my friend.
All right. We'll have more Sports Saturday on the other side here on WSMI FM 106.1. Of course, Rob, before we went to break, we forgot to mention the FCA camp that you guys were promoting. Tell us a little bit about how that went.
Yeah, we Greenville's had an FCA camp for about 14 years, and Pana added one, and Effingham's had one, and we wanted to bring an FCA camp to this part of the area. And it was a tremendous success.
Good deal.
We had about 88 campers. It's a three-day camp. We had coaches from the area, Staunton, Raymond, Carlinville, Litchfield, Hillsborough, a bunch of kids coming up. And the kids had a great time.
I understand Louis Lang stopped by.
Terry, I appreciate you guys promoting that on the radio. Louis Lang heard that, and he came and gave his Christian testimony to the kids. And it was really good to hear from a referee's kind of perspective. So it was really neat. So thank you, Terry.
No problem. And Lou's a good buddy of mine, and you know, it's good to get perspectives from all sides. That makes everybody a better person, I think.
I think so.
Yeah, obviously. It's fun to communicate with someone like Louis, an official off the field or off the court, because, you know, your relationship with them on the court is probably not always the best, because you always probably see the worst of each other, and then...
Yeah. But there's a lot of respect, I mean, for him and for the coaches. I mean, you're competing, you're fighting for your girls to get, you know, what they feel they deserve. And but we're talking, when Louis officiates a game, you know that the kids are going to decide who wins and loses. He's not going to make the decision, and he's going to let the kids play and make it fair. And we have a lot of respect for him.
Oh, absolutely, and obviously he had a pretty good spring sports season, because he got to cover that 1A state tournament game with the 1,000 strikeouts that went on.
Yeah, seems like it. I mean, he really enjoyed doing that, but that was cool. He told us about that.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. Well, was this the first of those FCA camps that
hit Litchfield? Yeah, okay. Like I say, Pena's had theirs for a couple of years in Effingham, but Greenville is the model. Our good buddy Lou Colt runs the FCA in the area, and he helped us set up. And the outpouring of support in the community was unbelievable, financial and the volunteers. It made it work, and the kids had a really good time in the camp. A lot of them couldn't wait to come back. And I actually went to a kid who went to our camp, liked it so much, they went to Painless Camp the next week.
Okay.
They just really enjoyed it.
That's good. That's awesome. Do you foresee this as something that you could have on a regular basis maybe in the future, too?
Our goal is to make it self-sustaining, and again, it's 3 days, but we had when you have we have really good facilities and good central location, and our school district, God bless them, is willing to let us use that, and our coaches, you know, we had to, you know, have the facilities, and you know, people want to compete in the summertime, so everybody was on board with it, and that made it a success.
It also speaks to how awesome the county is, because the generosity in this county is unmatched by any others.
It is, and I don't want to disparage Macoupin County, because we have
people
over there too. But the whole area. I mean,
you could extend it to this listening area.
Absolutely, I was overwhelmed by it, because I had never been, because I was out soliciting funds for this, and everybody wants to say yes to you, and they know it's a good thing, and they know that the FCA is one of the highly regarded philanthropies in the nation. So,
Rob.
Rob, one thing I want to say here. With Dave and I and all the guys that cover sports and everything, we have a bunch of really great guys and gals that are coaches, and we really appreciate what you guys do and how you are very cooperative with whatever we need, and just, you know, kudos, tip of the hat, whatever, thanks, because you're one of the good guys, and we've got a bunch of them that we get to associate with all season long.
That's very nice of you to say, but yeah, the coaches in the area, it's been great to get to know them. When I was coaching at Staunton, I started to get to know the coaches in the conference, and they are a bunch of really, really great men and women who work hard for the kids. But after, you know, it's nice to, you know, you see us chatting before or after a game, and it's all, you know, we compete, but afterwards it's all good.
Sure.
So we're lucky.
Before we let you go, I know you've got a pretty busy morning. I did want to ask, I didn't get to ask this in the last segment. You've in the past with this Litchfield-Lincolnwood Co-op, you've done a game over at Lincolnwood High School. Are you planning on doing that again this year?
Yes, we are. We are planning, I believe we are hosting the Williamsville Rockets, I believe.
Bullets?
I beg your pardon, the Bullets.
Rochester Rockets.
My bad. The Bullets, yeah. They're awful good. And, yeah, that'll be a game up for...
That'll be at least.
We host a game over there every year, and it's the people over there talk about being unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It's really our home away from home.
I'm sure they appreciate it. Yes, I know Terry could probably speak
to
it too.
Absolutely. Are you kidding me? There's the place is nearly packed on that night. Yeah,
I love that gym over there.
Yeah. Oh, it's a throwback to kind of a Hoosier-esque gym, isn't it?
Absolutely. the fans are right there on top, and it's fun. It's a good atmosphere. And I know Wibbs usually travels well.
They do.
Crowd and. And they'll be good again, and it should be very competitive.
Williamsville is one of those schools that's always good.
Yeah, they are.
You know, even if they're not sectional champions, they're still darn good, and you got to be ready for them.
Well, I went and watched them play Camp Point Central. I believe that was a regional final, and that was just Camp Point, of course, ends up going to the state. Yeah. And that game was nip and tuck all the way, just battle. So they're good. They're fun to play against.
And it's a good addition for the schedule, too.
Yeah, it was. It really was.
Rob, we want to thank you for coming over this morning and spending some time with us. We're going to let you go. We do have Litchfield football coach Seth Hill on deck waiting for us, but we are going to take a break. You're listening to WSMI Sports Saturday here on FM 106.1. And thank you very much, Terry Tote. And, of course, speaking of Illini, speaking of football in general, we've got the new head football coach over for the Litchfield Purple Panthers. I was trying to segue in there to the Illini because I know you had someone from Illinois, I believe, who's a former player of yours or a teammate or whatever he was. Tell us a little bit about that, Seth Hill.
Yeah, he was a former player of mine when I was coaching at JHS and had the honor of coaching him 4 years through high school. And he continued his career at U of I, was a great, great guy, great kid to coach, and wish him nothing but luck up there. I know he's doing big things already, and he's got a bright future in front of him. So
obviously it must have been something really special for the players over at Litchfield to hear him speak.
Absolutely, and just kind of bringing him down to kind of show the players that, you know, if you're willing to put the time and the work in, that you know, this sport can help it take you to college and potentially, you know, help you get it paid for. And in the world we live in, I think that's a big thing right
absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. We're joined by Seth Hill, the new varsity coach, football coach for the Litchfield Purple Panthers. Seth, tell us a little bit about your background as a coach and just in general, you know, where you grew up and things like that, because you're obviously not from this area, the immediate area.
Right. Born and raised in Jacksonville. I played for JHS and then went and played 4 years for Monmouth College and had great success with both of those teams. And when I got out of college, came back and went back to my alma mater and coached with Mark Grounds up there for 3 seasons on his staff, and then moved to Rushville Industry this last year and had the privilege to work with John Hebb, who was a great head coach up there. And we did some big things up at Rushville, and then left and came down here to join the Litchfield community. So,
is this your first time as a head coach?
This would be the first head coaching job. Yep, absolutely, and looking forward to big things.
What was the connection with Litchfield exactly? What was obviously they were looking for a coach, but was there some kind of prior connection? Like, did you know someone in the district, or was this just kind of the job was open, so there it was?
Not so much as knew anybody in the district, just that, you know, it came open and kind of growing up in the area and knowing, you know, kind of local sports and the Springfield area and surrounding, mm-hmm. you know, schools, that I knew of Litchfield and kind of knew of the community a little bit. It had come through a few times, and everybody that I talked to down here, you know, were upstanding people. And, you know, when the job came open, I said, you know, I think that's a great place to kind of go and coach football at. So
it's a football crazy town.
Yeah,
I tell you, they haven't necessarily had the success that other schools have had, but boy, the fans love it and they show up. I mean, you rarely will have an empty stadium.
Absolutely, that's what we're hoping for.
Absolutely, yeah. And tell us a little bit about, you've had a chance to talk with your new athletic director, former head coach Pat Rince. What are some of the similarities you have, without revealing any sort of world secrets, that you have from a philosophy standpoint and as a personality standpoint, I guess?
First and foremost, Pat Rince is a fantastic man. He and I had the chance to sit down and talk, and I think he and I share the same passion for the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think we share the same passion for success, and I think that is something that will grow and, you know, people will continue to kind of see in the upcoming years. I think he made it a very seamless transition for me, which, you know, I give him the utmost respect for, and I think he's just kind of trying to kind of help me get going and help things be as easy as possible starting out.
So. Sure, sure. You are coming into a situation where you're playing in the South Central Conference. Do you have any knowledge of the South Central Conference? Or how, have you been able to see from afar how the South Central Conference is, I guess?
Yeah, got to, you know, I guess being at Rushville and being in that kind of size football team, you start to look at football teams your same size, and a lot of the South Central Conference is that size. So kind of getting to look at those schools, I kind of know what, you know, what we're coming into. So,
and you're coming into a season where it's the first four-win season last year for the Purple Panthers in a long time. You're losing some very good players from last year's team, obviously, specifically in the running game, and a player like Connor Simmons, which you may have not had a chance to meet. But you still got to be excited about, you know, the fresh blood, I guess you could say, that you have on your team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, we have some guys that are going to step into some key roles and, you know, going to help to make us successful. I think that our upperclassmen have kind of bought into what our new vision is and, are really kind of pushing the underclassmen to get there as well. And, we have a real good team chemistry going right now. And good. I think that's a good thing heading into the season. So.
And I know some coaches have, you know, a philosophy that they like to go with or a style of offense or defense that they like to go with no matter who their personnel is. Do you kind of have like, you know, I'm going to run it more or I'm going to pass it more? Do you like to adapt your game around the players that you have?
I guess I would say I like to give us the best opportunity to be successful. Yeah. And looking at what players we would have, you know, from year to year will change the style of the game, and, and I think that that's what you kind of have to do as a head coach to see repeated success. So
you've mentioned that you've obviously coached over at Jacksonville, you've coached at Rushville Industry, difference in sizes at both of those schools. Tell us a little bit about the difference of what it's like coaching at a big school compared to a smaller school and what it would be at Litchfield. The major differences, I guess you could say.
Major difference would be school size. One of the things that I like about the smaller school or the smaller community is it's more of a family atmosphere. Mm-hmm. When I played at JHS, you know, we were a little bit smaller back then, and it had that huge family feel of the community was behind the football team, and football was part of the community, and I think that is something that we're going to try to foster here, because that is something that I like to see, you know, in anywhere that I'm going to coach. And I think that Litchfield being a little bit of a smaller community compared to Jacksonville and the team being a little bit smaller, I think that you'll see that definitely.
And, Coach, one other thing that with the smaller schools, you have athletes that play multiple sports. They perhaps are not just a football player or a basketball player. They have to play multiple sports to keep all the programs going.
Absolutely, and with the football team, especially this summer, we are 100% supportive of our guys being multi-sport athletes. You know, I think that kind of keeps them in shape from season to season, moving from sport to sport. It builds a good camaraderie amongst coaches. It kind of builds a big enthusiasm in the school because, you know, you're cheering for each sport, you know, as it moves from year to year, and I think that just helps overall in all programs.
Yeah, and it helps the students going forward too, because should they decide to, you know, play, you know, at the college level, no matter the sport, you look at a team. I know specifically Ohio State a couple of years ago. I think they had, well, it was probably something like 70% of their team was multi-sport athletes in high school. So it's something that college coaches look for as well.
Absolutely, I think it kind of keeps them from maybe specializing in one sport, and, you know, kind of keeps them open. They get to do different sports, which are gonna, you know, kind of push for different athletic needs out of them, and I think that's a good thing. It keeps them a well-rounded athlete. Mm-hmm. So,
when Pat took over as the head coach 3 years ago, he instilled this row the boat philosophy, something he got from, I think it was, Central Michigan's head coach PJ Fleck. Is that something that you're going to continue going? Because it's kind of developed in through the through not just football, but throughout the high school sports in general.
Absolutely. You know, Pat and I sat down and talked in the beginning, and he said that, you know, him being the new athletic director, row the boat, is something that he wanted to take to the athletic programs as a whole, which I am a firm believer in. Love the row the boat. And so as he took that to all athletics this year for the football team as kind of a sub group under that, we adopted Rise as One, kind of a philosophy that is much like that fits into his row the boat row the boat philosophy and kind of gives our guys something to also get a hold of. So.
Awesome. How difficult is it for someone like you when you've coached obviously other places, but here you are at your first head coaching job and it's in some place that you don't have a lot of experience in the area or with the kids or don't know much about the kids that you're going to be dealing with. How difficult is that for a coach?
I would say it has its difficulties. I put a large, I guess, amount of work on the coaches that I kept on staff that are from the area, and just kind of them knowing the players and being able to utilize, you know, those coaches. You know, I feel that you keep those guys on your staff because you feel they can bring things to the table, and I think that the coaches that we have absolutely can help me out with that. That, like I said, the community has been very open. You know, anything that I've kind of gone and asked for, they have absolutely accommodated. I mean, you know, the Booster Club, they just bought us a new chute and, you know, helped out with that. And, you know, all the administration there at Litchfield High School has been absolutely accommodating and anything that they could help with and putting us in contact with who we need to be in contact with, and just have the utmost gratitude towards those programs.
Yeah, that's the thing we mentioned earlier. The thing with Litchfield is, even though the success maybe was not there, they love their football, and whether it's the boosters, the administration, whatever, they're there to support football and the fans as well. They'll be packing the stadium. With that being said, what kind of expectations do you have for the season upcoming? Because it's hard to say, well, we're going to win this number of games when you don't. I mean, it's your first year in the conference and everything, but what would you consider a successful season, I guess you could say? Maybe that's a loaded question, but...
It could be. I guess what I would say we're looking for this season is obviously we want to be successful. Mm-hmm. As a team, as a coach, I think that's what kind of every team strive for is to be successful. We want to see player growth. You know, we want to see, you know, growth in the community. We want to see the town shut down on Friday nights and come out to the football game because of the experience. And, you know, we want to see the school, you know, painted purple and, you know, coming out on Friday nights. And, you know, if we can do things like that and, you know, we can see growth, I think it's only going to help us to see success on the football field, which, you know, it is going to help in the X's and O's in the long run.
Right,
so.
And obviously you'll be stressing academics as well because they're student athletes first, I suppose.
And absolutely, and that was one of the first things that I said. And as I talked about us having a strong upperclassman group, we sat down and kind of talked, and you know they set their goals for the season. And you know one of the things they said was we want to be successful on the field. Absolutely. Second thing, you know, that immediately followed that was we want to be successful in the classroom first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to work harder in the classroom than what we're going to work on the field. Being a head coach, you know, being a teacher, that is one thing that I stress tenfold is we are student athletes. There's a reason student comes first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, football doesn't last forever. And if you can get your education, you know, it's going to make you successful in life. And that's really, I think, what we're pushing for as a coaching staff, is not for just our players to be successful on the field. We want to see them be successful in life once they leave Litchfield High School.
Absolutely. Litchfield head football coach Seth Hill joining us here on Sports Saturday this morning. Seth, tell us a bit about, since you've had a chance to work with your team so far in the summer, some of the strengths that you've noticed your team has so far. Where are you strong at, I guess, on your team?
I would say that we have a lot of strength in pretty much, you know, all of our places. Our leadership has really kind of stepped to the table and kind of started to help, you know, guys to buy into our system. And I think one of our strengths is that right out of the gate, our players said, yes, we're devoted to what you want to do. You know, we're going to do what it is that you want us to do. And I think they've really kind of stepped to the table and made that happen for us. You know, players-wise, every player understands that it's where they fit at into the team, and I think that is going to be one of our stronger points is that I don't think any of the guys we have on the field say, I'm out here playing for me. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them is, Coach, what can I do to make the team better?
Buying into roles.
Right, absolutely, and I think with them doing that is just you know, going to make it even better once the season gets here. So.
Awesome. And obviously you've got Greenville in week one, which historically has been a tough matchup for Litchfield. Although the last few years it's been a very good game. Last year Greenville did not have the season that they wanted to have, missing the postseason for the first time in a long time. This year they'll probably be extra motivated heading to that matchup, so that's something you'll have to contend with in week one as a very determined and hungry Greenville team.
Absolutely, and I think that you know, that's going to be a good matchup. But, you know, I have a lot of respect for what they're doing down there in their program, and you know, we are working towards being where we need to be at when that part of the season hits, and hopefully we can make that a very good game.
And Litchfield is dealing with a postseason drought of their own. And we talked about the success you want your team to have, but do you kind of not talk about, obviously you want to get the postseason, but do you kind of not talk about postseason just yet and just take it one game at a time early in the season?
I think that's kind of how we're going to approach it, is, you know, you have to play every game like it's going to be your last game. And I think that if, as a head coach, you can get your players to approach every game that way, that you are going to be more successful than, I think, going any other route. And that is just one thing that we're going to preach, that, you know, we're not going to look past anybody. You know, you always have to respect your opponent. And I think in us doing that, it's going to make us kind of be in the right spot that we need to be in when it comes time to play that game. So
that's Litchfield head football coach Seth Hill here on Sports Saturday. We need to take a break. More Sports Saturday on the other side here on WSMI FM 106.1. Thank you very much, Terry. As he just said, 5 weeks away from Football Friday, and as we mentioned, for Litchfield head coach Seth Hill, the Purple Panthers opening with Greenville. But before that, Seth, you've got the traditional purple and white scrimmage game. Tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. It's going to be August the 19th. It is going to be right here on our home field. It is going to be our purple and white game, which is our Gatorade scrimmage. I love to see the community get out and kind of be able to interact with us, the football team, and, you know, especially us as some of our guys being new on the coaching staff, me included. You know, it'd be nice to kind of get to see the community, get a chance to talk with them and all that, which I'm absolutely looking forward to. So, yeah, we'd love to see everybody come out and kind of show that Panther support and get to see what we're going to be doing this year. So
you said that was August 19th?
Yep, that is August 19th, and it'll be just like, you know, a regular scheduled game. We'll start at 7 o'clock. And we'll kind of get it rolling from there.
Okay. Well, and you said the community at Litchfield has been so accepting. What is your relationship been like with the rest of the coaching staff as a whole? You know, all the coaches at Litchfield so far getting acclimated to this area.
It's been good. You know, it was something that we kind of had to meet each other and get to know each other very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It happened fast, and those relationships are still evolving. But every one of them I've had so far has been absolutely, you know, fantastic. The coaches have done everything they could do to kind of help accommodate me as a football coach and to, you know, help us be as successful as possible. So,
you still get nervous going into first game? Going into first game this season?
I don't know if I get nervous. I would say it's just a heightened awareness mm-hmm. of what we need to do. You know, I think that you play enough games and, you know, you coach enough games and you finally get the nerves out of it where it's just, you know what your game plan is and you got a job to do, and that's what you're going in to take care of.
I guess, so. Will there be even more, a higher sense of awareness going in as your first game as a head football coach?
I don't know right now. I know that
you'll be able to answer that in week two.
Yeah, I'll probably be able to answer that in week two, but I can tell you that the coaches that I put on staff, you know, there was a reason I put those guys on staff, and that is to take that pressure off of me as a head coach. You know, those guys are guys that I trust wholeheartedly, and I know they have our best interest at heart, and they're going to do everything they can to make us successful as well. And when you surround yourself with coaches like that, it makes it a lot easier as a head coach. It takes a lot of things off your plate that you don't have to worry about anymore. And mm-hmm. I think that will be a big piece of the puzzle come first game is being able to have those assistant coaches to fall back on.
Yeah, right. Have you had a chance at all to talk with some of the other coaches in the conference, in the South Central Conference?
I have not a whole lot. That is definitely something on my list of things to do, is to kind of get in contact and be able to talk with them. It was just, you know, kind of coming in a little later and trying to get things going. And, you know, I'm sure every head coach understands you get that first gig and you just, you know, you get caught up in what it is you're doing, and you're so focused on that, you know, sometimes you kind of miss being able to go out and
right.
talk with the other coaches. But build that relationship is definitely something that I'm looking forward to doing. So,
as you said, it did happen pretty late, too, because, you know, the coaching vacancy showed up pretty late, so the hire was late. So you have had a lot of time to reach out beyond Litchfield.
It's been good, though. It's been good. You know, just kind of, I've always been one that you hit the ground running, and that was something that was needed, and that's what we did. You know, coming out of the gate, we hit the ground and took off with it, and it seemed to work for us so far.
That is Litchfield head football coach Seth Hill. Seth, was there anything else that you'd like to mention before we let you go and get back to it?
Well, like I said earlier, just like to see that community come out and you know, really get involved, because you know, one of the things we're going to do as a football team is we want to start to get involved in the community as well. I know our guys are out there going door to door right now selling our gold cards, which is one of our big money makers for the football team. And you know, we'd absolutely love the community support with that, and we'd love to see them out on August 19th, and you know, love to become a part of the community.
Absolutely. Seth, thanks so much for spending some time with us here this morning.
And thank you.
Good luck the rest of the season.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks, Coach.
That is Seth Hill, and we're going to go ahead and hand this headset over to Katie right now. Katie Bowles, our ag director.
Katie Wilson.
Yep. Katie Wilson. I called you Bowles. Katie Wilson now.
It's all right. Good morning.
Good morning. And actually,
we're going to pass it off again.
Well, actually, we've got a handheld mic. Yeah, that Eric Johnson, who's in charge of the foosball, human foosball. Yes. And Katie can, you can have a seat too, Eric, and Katie have a seat, whatever you want to do. And well, this is the second year of human foosball here at Party in the Park. How's that going, I guess?
I'm still trying to recruit teams for the big tournament coming up, single elimination tournament this afternoon, starts at 10 o'clock. Besides that, a lot of fun I had last night and today as well. I'm looking forward to it.
How's the turnout for teams this year?
We're about 50%. We have 8 teams. We're hoping for 16. Just groups of 6. We need 6 people to join.
Obviously, the tournament starts here in what, little over 5 minutes. Are you still accepting teams?
Yes, we are. At any point, we have slots probably up to about noon anyway. There's some open slots.
Let me hold that mic a little bit closer. All right, now, how has Party in the Park gone a little bit so far? Obviously, we're one day in. This is the second day, I guess. The weather has cooperated outside of yesterday morning when we got a spill of water.
It was a little difficult because the walls for the foosball tournament are made of plywood, so we had to kind of work around the weather a little bit, but after an hour or two of delay, once the rain stopped, we got it all set up. Gorgeous day yesterday.
Okay.
A lot of fun.
Now, if people are driving by and they want to come check this out and then they get the itch to play, are there openings on any teams or kind of just need to watch now?
Yeah, if you're here by noon and we have 6 people, we can get you set up in the tournament. It's $50 to set up your team, a single elimination tournament. It'll probably over around 3 o'clock. After that, we'll have open play.
So someone is more than willing to, you know, come up and just hop in the court and give it a try. Hopefully have a team next year.
All right.
Obviously, it's become a pretty popular event because I know other organizations, fairs or whatever, have kind of adopted human foosball in the area. What made you guys, what started this, I guess, last year being the first year?
Your idea?
He's looking at Mike's.
Was it Mike's
out,
idea?
Sales manager.
whose idea
who
was
brought,
this?
We were just sitting in the Party in the Park meeting, just bouncing ideas. I don't know if it was Mark Stearin or...
Mark Stearin, I think. Says,
Mark Stearin just popped that out. And
nobody had ever heard of it.
Yeah. So we thought it was a good idea. Caught wind. We're just trying to market a little better and trying to get our teams full. And
a lot more physically demanding than you may think going into it.
Yeah, you know, I don't want that to deter people, though, because I feel like, you know, a lot of my staff, for example, at Family Eye Care, they didn't want to, they're kind of intimidated thinking, you know, I don't have to run. Well, there's not a lot of running. You're just moving side to side. It's a very soft ball, so you're not going to get hurt. You know, it's not a very aggressive sport, so I don't want that to deter people from joining, thinking that it's going to be too labor-intensive in the heat here.
I know you've got nets up this year. I don't remember the nets being up last year. Obviously, you learned from the balls flying out.
Jim and Mark Stearin added those up, and so hopefully we have a whole lot less balls to chase this year.
Yeah. And this is literally like playing foosball on a table. You're in a line with your teammates holding the pole, correct?
Yep. There's a goalie, where then there's a PVC pipe around a wooden pole that you have to keep your hands on it at all times and slide from side to side. And then right in front of the goalie, there'll be two attackers, you know, with on one pole. You know, both their hands have to be, and they have to move in conjunction together. And in front of that is a team of 3 going the other way, and then flip-flop the other side.
Obviously, we mentioned the tournament starts at 10 o'clock, and do you anticipate how long it's going to last? And I ask this because I know last night you had open play for the human foosball. Will you have that again tonight?
Yeah, we're going to have that again tonight for sure. If we filled the whole 16-team tournament, the championship game would have been at 5 o'clock. It was all laid out for us. But I'm assuming we're going to move everything up. I'm assuming we'll be done around 3 or 3:30,
okay.
And then we'll open play after that and let some kids have fun.
So for the open play, I know, talking to Don Piesel throughout the last month or so, it's just if you show up and the court is available, you can play.
Just hop on, yep.
Yes. Sounds pretty fun.
Yep.
Sounds like a great time. And so far, it's not too hot.
Not
here
yet.
At Library Park in
There's
Litchfield.
No clouds either, so you shouldn't get rained on either. That'd be interesting.
So although, don't be turned off by the heat because it's really nice right now.
It is really nice. Anything else that we neglected to mention about the human foosball?
I don't think so. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks for joining us, and we can talk to you throughout the morning. We'll be here until noon, and
sure.
We'll talk more if you're available. I know you're part of the KEB team, so
yep.
you'll be playing. Try not to get hurt out there.
Thank you very much, Eric.
That was Eric Johnson with Kerber Eckenbreckel, part of the Kerber Eckenbreckel team for human foosball. And, of course, that was my mistake. I did not have his mic in the right pot.
Oh, you know what?
So
it's a learning experience because we're using the Marty today, and I don't even know how to set this thing up. So.
Well, I'll have to show
now
you
you're learning. Yeah.
Hey, Terry.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Hey, by the way, and you were talking with Coach Hill, the new Litchfield football coach. Some kudos towards Pat Rentz. He did a great job while he was in there as head football coach. He is going to do a fantastic job as the new athletic director at Litchfield High School, and he's replacing two guys who are absolutely just terrific, Don Gersh and Ed Roundtown, two guys who are absolutely just took care of us and took care of so many things, and things ran very well.
They did, and you know it's going to be disappointing, obviously, to lose him from the coaching standpoint for Litchfield, but for us as well, because we develop a relationship with all those coaches. However, it's also going to be exciting to work with him as an athletic director, because although we did like to work with Ed and Don, we get to work with Pat in a different style of things now. So that'll be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I imagine he'll, you know, he won't miss a beat. Things will still go on as normal.
Oh, sure. But Party in the Park's going on right now.
It is. And there's the crowds continue to file in. Obviously, it looks like the 3-on-3 tournament has started a little bit early because there are games going on, whether that be open play or they're actually part of the tournament. I'm not sure. There is a crowd over there by the basketball courts. They're just starting to file into the foosball court to start the human foosball tournament, both scheduled to start at 10.
Remember last year the foosball tournament got underway and then they snapped the pole. Remember that, Dave?
I do, yeah. They snapped the pole. Things did not go their way that far. I think they'll probably learn from that and have backups this year, I would hope. I don't see them right now, but we'll see.